Today's scripture reading is found in Nehemiah, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zaccur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Mirmoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Mashalam, son of Birkiah, the son of Meshiabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Beanah, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. This is the word of the Lord.
But anything is possible with God. And that's how Nehemiah approached the situation. Look, the walls are in ruin. The gates are burned. Come, let's do it. We can do this thing. We can do what needs to be done. How does he do it? He said, I told him about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king said to me. Here's a point. We need to remember backwards certain things that God has done for us so that we going forward will be able to do those things. I say this as a joke. I love my brother. The privilege of riding with Mark Harris yesterday to Men's Fellowship. And we're downtown having breakfast. And I said, well, you know, it's a two-hour sign that we're at, so we're going to have to hurry back. He goes, no, actually, Pastor, it was a one-hour sign. I said, no, it was a two-hour sign. No, it was 1 hour. He said, you want to bet? I took his lunch money. I was like, no. Well, see, I got out of the car and I looked back, but you didn't look ahead either. It's not unidirectional. It's like, no, when you look back, yeah, you saw where it was 1 hour up to a point, but if you looked ahead, it's 2 hours. And I pulled into that space that allowed the 2 hour metering. So what am I saying? When you look back over the arc of what did David do? The shepherd, you remember David, the shepherd, he's facing the warrior giant, Goliath. So what does he do? David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, guess what? I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same thing for this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. I can speak about what God can do because I've already lived what he has already done. So you remember backward. It's like, oh yeah, he did do that. He did do that. And if he did do that, he's capable of doing that and more, at least that. He could at least do that. If it's like, so at least let's trust them for that letter. So you don't misunderstand or stand on a promise that doesn't mean personal comfort or temporary victory. You remember the book of Daniel and the three Jewish men that were told you had to bow down or else. See, it wasn't a matter of compromising your beliefs so you didn't get that promotion that you were thinking about. Okay, well, God understands. Let me compromise a little bit so I can go along to get along, be liked a little more. It was a little more serious than that. If you don't do what we say, when we say it, you will die. If you don't do what we say do, when we say do it, you will die. So what did they say? Well, you know, let me just cross my fingers behind my back. God understands. He understands. No, what did they say? Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the God statue you set up. No compromise. No, no, no compromise. This is who I am. This is who I serve. This is how I roll. This is it. This is it. They can say this because they knew who God is and what he can do, even if he chooses not to do it when we want him to do it. So Nehemiah encourages the people by letting them know that, as the old saints would say, God is able. Again, right about this time, Redalia would say, won't he do it? Yeah, won't he do it? And the people begin to work. But we know the story doesn't end there, and up pops the naysayers. You know, as they say, there's one in every crowd. And in this case, there's three. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you're doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? So you would think that they would say, oh man, this is great. You're rebuilding the walls, the gates. This is good. This is good for us. This we'll benefit from this. Forget who gets credit. This is good for us. You know, and maybe, just maybe, God will be glorified. But instead, they mock and they ridicule. And mock means mocked, as we shared last week, but ridicule is better translated despised. They didn't just make fun of what they were doing. They despised what they were doing. See? The evil one is called the evil one for a reason. He's not a nice guy. You know, he fell out of bed on the wrong side of heaven. You know, it's just like, no. He is evil. And wants nothing good for you in your life. And we have to be on guard that we don't, again, colloquialism for today, we don't go for the okey-doke. That we don't just buy into, oh, well, you know, well, let me just go along. Let me just compromise here, compromise there. Let me, it's like, no, this is who we believe in. This is what, you know, again, I firmly, firmly embrace the adage of conversion. A community precedes conversion, but ultimately the goal is conversion. But community does have to take place. But if you don't know who you are and whose you are, then pretty much anything will go. And then you'll find yourself out in the middle of the desert somewhere, and it's like, how did I get here? How did I end up here? Be it geographically, be it spiritually, be it whatever. But unless and until we fully understand what God has called us to do. And equally, the flip side of that coin is what he called us not to do. See, we can get caught up in, well, you know, God told me, well, he's not speaking in a big booming voice, and I can't quite hear that small, still voice. So what we shouldn't do is make up stuff to fill in that void. Because sometimes it's in that quiet, it's in that absolute quiet that God is speaking and preparing your heart for what he will say. I'll tell you this. I mean, there was a period in my life, 5 years. 5 years of absolute quiet. God, I'm not hearing from you. This is not going well for me. I don't like this silence. I'm an engineer by vocation. I like certainty. I like linearity. I like A precedes B and next comes C. And God's like, I'm not even playing that alphabet game. I'm not even going down that path. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And so he takes us on these journeys if we let him. Sometimes God is good. Sometimes he has to take us dragging and screaming, throw us in the back of the pickup truck. And it's just like, come on, you got to go. I'm taking you with me even if you don't want to go. You got to go. Evil one is evil. The battle is not flesh and blood. So what do they say? What is it you're doing? Who do you think you are? And they don't stop with just a personal attack. They throw in the fact that, are you rebelling against the king? So you're gonna get killed. Let me play that card. You won't. Not only will you not get that promotion, you won't even get to live to see tomorrow. Let me just wait till I tell the king. That's what evil does. That's what evil does. But what does Nehemiah do? Verse 20. The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, You have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Share it again. I know I'm retreading a little bit of ground. The land, you cannot separate the land from God with relationship with the promise of the people because it all came together at once. Yeah, Abraham, I need you to come from where you're at and go to a land. What land? I'll show you when you get there. It was all wrapped up in a promise. So the land and the promise and the relationship was all one. And Nehemiah throws down, you got nothing to do with this wall, these gates, this land. You got nothing. Get out of here. And as I said, if he had a mic back then, he would have dropped it. So today we began examining, and I promise I won't be, Mark, I won't be before you too long. I promise. The third chapter where we read. See, Mark Harris, he keeps me in check. He always says, well, Pastor, you say you won't be here long. But then 30 minutes passes, and then not today. Not today. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hanel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. For those of you who haven't read ahead, and I encourage you to not only read all of Nehemiah, but read Ezra. You really need to read both to get a full-bodied spiritual experience. You already know the third chapter is a listing of people and how they responded to the restoration of the relationship. So what you will see is that you've got clergy, non-clergy. You'll have folks that are identified as individuals. You'll have folks identified as families. You have folks that are geographically linked together. And you'll have some, it's like, oh, I don't even see the congruity to it. I just don't see it. It's just like there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of work. And what's all this? What's all this detail for? I know the building. It's like this is not an engineering document. Why is he listing all of this? Didn't the Bible talk about not letting one hand know what the other hand is doing? And so aren't we supposed to be kind of like subtly doing stuff? And I don't want people to know what I'm doing or giving or how I spend my time. And again, the image I keep getting in my mind is Renee Tatum singing gospel songs, hair tied up on a ladder, just taking a little spatula and pulling paint off the corner of the ceiling, singing praises to God. You shouldn't single out people for that, right? You shouldn't call names. You shouldn't, because you just shouldn't do that. The point is not to shame someone because they only did 10 feet or they only gave 2 cents or they only could afford a few door hinges. But the point and purpose of listing all of this is to show that, one, everyone participated, and two, everyone had a role and responsibility. Everyone participated. Everyone that wanted to participate, let's put it that way, that wanted to participate could participate, and everyone had a role and responsibility. Everyone didn't have a hand in rebuilding the sheep gate. Everybody didn't work on the sheep gate. And nobody said, you know what, I want to work on the sheep gate. And if I don't get to work on the sheep gate, I ain't working on no gate. I'm not going to work on the wall. I'm not going to work on the fish gate. I want to do the sheep gate. You don't read anything in the text that alludes to that. Everyone had a role, and everyone did what they were tasked to do. And everybody had a hand in the restoration. Again, City Church is a perfect example. The men and women that live and worship here, as well as the men and women that don't live in community, have all participated in the restoration of this building. Eliah and Karina, they live right down the street. They're part of City Church. They're not here today. You tell them I talked about them. That's fine. It's like, you know, Pastor Meeks. This is before they even aligned with us. Pastor Meeks, we want to help you with the landscaping. Can we buy the plants for the church? Is that a trick question? Can you buy the plants? Yes, you can buy the plants. Well, do you, here's the landscape. I don't care what the landscaping plan. You bought the plants. You landscape it. You do what God has laid on your heart to do. The Patrick and Rita Sims, worship at Antioch Progressive. The ones that provide the petting zoo for us every year. Called the other day, as Pastor Bert was praying, God, you know, if I had $2,000, I would get this our two lots on the side knocked down and re-landscape. Well, he doesn't have $2,000 for that, but he didn't know that I was, at the same time he's praying, I'm receiving the call from them saying, do you mind if we come with our tractor and grader and like clear off your lot for you? I repeat these stories, not to say, oh, no. This is the God we serve. See, don't allow the evil one to inflate what you've done, or deflate what you have done. Whatever God has laid on your heart to do, do whatever it is. Well, you know, I can only do X. Do X. Do X. That's fine. Well, I can only do Y. Do Y. Do what God has laid on your heart to do. So we read in the third verse, starting at the third verse, the fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshebel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was also repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under the supervisors. Verse 5 stands out like a wart. But the nobles of Tekoa would not put their shoulders to the work under the supervisors in every group. Every group. I don't care if it's at work, it's at city church, or your church, your home. You got more than one kid? Could be the same kid sometimes. Not schizophrenic, but it's like some will work, some will not work. And a lot of those that won't work will tell you what you're doing wrong and how it should be done while they're not doing anything. In every group. In every group. In every group. See, you'll have those that will see a situation and they'll see there's a need and they won't ask. They'll just call up and say, can I grade the lot? Can I plant the plants? Can I? They didn't wait for the request to go out. It's like, you see the situation. You know what needs to be done. What are you waiting for? October is Windows month. You know the situation. Well, nobody asked me. October is Windows month. There are windows. There are certain windows that don't hold glass. We have to replace them. So, am I worried? Mark is worried, but Mark, the son of God, is not worried. Because I know he has done it before. And I was like, okay, I know you're going to do it. I'd rather have it sooner rather than later, but that's just me. That's just me, God. You'll work it out. I know it's going to get fixed. I have no doubt in my mind it's going to get fixed when it needs to get fixed, preferably before the wind and the rain, but maybe not. Maybe he wants us to experience a little rain. And maybe that'll be the motivation for us to replace the glass. But in every group, you'll have those that work and those that don't. Those that'll see a situation and run to be part of the solution. And those that will offer every reason, every good reason why they can't. I like how the Message version reads, they wouldn't work with their master and refuse to get their hands dirty with such work. I'm closing. So we need to ask ourselves, what is our motivation? How would we see ourselves, how we would see ourselves then, in thousands of years ago, is how we will respond to situations right now, right today. Well, I'm busy. They were busy. They had priorities. We have priorities. They have priorities. I got responsibilities. They had responsibilities. We can't hide behind, there's just not enough to, everybody gets 24 hours. Everybody. Everybody gets 7 days. Everybody. Everybody. So it becomes a matter of priority. What is important? Don't miss the point, as I keep saying. Don't look at trees and miss the view, the beauty of the forest. We do have firsthand experience with 3860 4th Avenue, but it's not the building. It's not the building, but it is the building. It's not the building, but it is the building, because the building is a stand-in for those things that we place affection to. So if I could put anything in front of that, see, if I look at this as just a building, if Nehemiah just looked at it as just, it's just walls, it's just gates, they got along without them. What's the urgency? We got other stuff to do. They're like, no, this is important, because this reflects the relationship that we don't have or don't enjoy. We ended up in captivity for a reason. We had a severed relationship. We ended up in captivity. Now, let's go about restoring that relationship. It's an archetype for the relationship that is in disrepair. And the opportunity that restoration will do for us individually and our families and our community and our city and our country and our world is limitless. This is just one building. Just one building. But there are literally countless buildings, physically and otherwise, that we all have in our lives. And not just physical buildings, 3860 4th Avenue. Whatever building that's in disrepair in your life right now, that God is saying, hey, you need to work on that building. Yeah, that building of relationship with the one you say you love, you need to work on that. They should call me first. No, is the end the restoration of the relationship, or who's going to be right? What's the purpose? What is the restoration of a physical piece of property? Is it so it doesn't leak water? That's nice that it doesn't leak, but it's the opportunity that it affords that lives can ultimately be transformed out of this space. That's all. That's all. Unfortunately, too often, the sinner that I am, it only is after the walls are down and the gates are burned, and the enemy, as the Bible describes, comes in like a flood. Then I drop to my knees. Then I start crying out, oh, Lord, repair the gates. Repair the walls. I've tried everything else, done everything else, and then ultimately I come around to the point of, you know, the safest place is in the arms of God. You've seen it. I laugh at it pretty much every time, and I've seen it a million times. The Farmers Insurance commercials, where they talk about different things, a moose, octopus, and all types of things, and calamity that comes into their lives. And their tagline is, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. I know what God has done for me. That's why I do what I do, even though it doesn't make sense to Sister Meeks. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to the advisory council. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I know what God is doing. What's the bottom line? God is faithful. Mark and Gene, on the dolly behind the curtain. Would you go grab that? It is super heavy. It is super heavy. Go straight behind this curtain here. It is super heavy. Bring that out here. And obviously, I didn't know that Gwenae was coming today. It's a bronze plaque. It's super heavy. Maybe we need some more manly men to come out here. For those of you who have seen this, go ahead, bring it on down. as they say, because I want, ultimately, after worship, I want everybody to take a peek and look at that. What is this? It's a bronze plaque that adorned this building. Hold on to it there. Thank you. Thank you.
I was looking ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First English Lutheran Church. See, it was important for Nehemiah to list the things that were being done. See, I don't know these people. You don't know these people. But Heinrich and Carol Becker, they gave a choir pew. And you go down the list, there's a roll call of people that gave. Your name may never be on a bronze plaque. God knows them. He knows me. And he knows you. So what's your priority? What's your priority? What's your priority? I said it earlier this morning. Everything we have, everything we are, it's temporary. Charmaine, it's temporary. 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 I love how Bishop Parker just put it to me. He said, Mark, this couldn't have ended another way. And I like the word he used, whether he intended it or not, ended. That this is the destiny that God had seen for me to walk through at this time in 2017, but I also fully recognize I got this much time. I got just this much time, not this much. So my priorities, you may look at them, well, you should be doing this, and you should be setting aside for this, and you should be saving for this. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To bow your heads and hearts with me.